Good day, everyone. This is Blake Harvey from San Antonio. We have dogs in the background here barking because some people have just come home at the same time that my show starts. My stepdaughter and granddaughter just came home from... Oh, no, she's with a friend of hers. And so, anyway, I hope everyone had a good week. It's been 2 weeks since I last had my show, and it's a hot day here in San Antonio, Texas. It rained just a little while ago. I was taking a nap and was woken up by the thunder, but it's not raining now, and it's cooled down quite a bit. Last week, temperatures been about 100 degrees in the daytime, gotten up to 100. Anyway, my name is Blake Ruby, and I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. And the book is available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And my show is about talking on the different subjects within my book. So today I plan to talk about God, what God looks like, reincarnation. And I've jotted down all these notes I've made over the last 2 weeks to talk about different subjects, ranging from spirituality to politics, little tips on living, you know, things in my life that I deal with on a daily basis, like you do in your lives. Let me start with that. I'm a singer, and I practice singing today. I've got all these karaoke songs that I've learned over the years. I actually started back in 2013, so for about 4 years now, I've been practicing these songs that I've learned. And I've got a pretty large repertoire, and it's so much fun to get that music start, and it's like an adventure each time. And I don't look at the monitor. You know, I memorize the words, and it's really neat. And I have songs from different artists, the Beatles, the Eagles, Led Zeppelin, many, many different artists, Cat Stevens, the Young Rascals. Anyway, and some more modern songs too by Coldplay, some heavy metal songs by Iron Butterfly, Judas Priest. And I'm always learning new songs too. It's been a while since I've learned any new ones. I think the last two were by Judas Priest, Electric Eye, and by Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. Then I like these spiritual songs too. Of course, the ones that have really meaningful lyrics, because I go to the Wounded Warriors once a month. I've been doing that for going on 4 years now, and I sing for them for about an hour and a half. And I've got an appointment next Wednesday, the 20th, to go sing for them. Anyway, my wife's here in the kitchen, so there's she's cooking. And I'm here kind of over on the side of the kitchen. The dog, little Jackson, is at my feet. He's afraid of the thunder. So he stays close whenever there's a thunderstorm, but it's pretty much passed. So, love God. Love God with all your might, all your soul, all your spirit. I saw a movie last night. I went out with my wife and a couple of friends. We saw Wonder Woman. And a lot of violence, always violence. It's kind of neat because I think we all have a superhero inside of us. And I believe the spirit is our superhero. I've flown in my dreams before. How many have flown in your dreams? Every once in a while I'll have a flying dream. But in addition to that, I remember in some dreams where I've been like Superman and my eyes have like laser beams coming out, and I've been able to burn things up, not in a bad way, but also like telekinesis. I have that ability in my dreams. I'm able to move objects. And so we all have that capability, I believe, and our spirits can do that. Our spirits can fly. How many out there believe that there's a spirit in your body? Good. I think most of us do believe, you know. That's true. And so that the superhero movies, they appeal to our inner nature, our spirit, because we can relate to that. But there's a lot of violence. I mentioned on my last show, my wife and I, we saw John Wick 2, and he killed 116 people in that movie. Oh, my God. Well, Wonder Woman was pretty close to that. It's fantasy, you know. We were talking with a couple when we left. We had to go to the bathroom, and we came out of the bathroom. We were talking. We were talking about the movie. I fell asleep in the movie, and I snored. You know, it's kind of embarrassing. A couple of times, you know, my eyes closed, and I snored a little bit. So he said, this guy, and he was with this woman, I guess his girlfriend or maybe his wife, I don't know. He said that he heard me snore, and it happened at the time when he had asked his girlfriend something. And it was a coincidence, you know, but we can relate to superheroes. And in the end, she said, probably the best message of the whole movie, and that is love. Love is the answer. And it is. And you know that. We need to share that. We need to spread that news around, right? It is. There's so much going on in this world, and we're evolving in our world here. We need to try to be more loving. The future of our human race depends on it, because we're on the brink. You know that. We have the capability to destroy ourselves. You know that. So God is out there, right? The universe began billions of years ago in the center of the universe, and we're revolving around the center. You know, we're not, before Copernicus said that the world is not the center of the universe, we're revolving around the sun, rotating on our axis, and revolving around, our solar system is revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and the galaxy is revolving around the center of the universe. It's true, isn't that kind of amazing? We take it all for granted. It happens, you know, like clockwork. That power that's doing it is without fail, perfectly time, no mistakes, perfect. And we don't give it really a second thought. And so, God, the supreme creator of the universe, the one who made the universe and put that plan into effect where we can all be co-creator gods, if you will, parts of the whole. There are some books that I've read that talk about what God looks like. One is called Within Heaven's Gates by Rebecca Springer. Another one is called The Heavens Open by Anna Roundtree. Another one is called Paradise, the Holy City and the Glory of the Throne. Another one is Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind by Jesse Duplantis. And who is God? What does God look like? We don't give it much thought. But I do. I've been seeking God for a long time. You have to forgive me, please. It's a little bit distracting down here. I'm used to having my show when there's no one around. Hi. Bye. And that's my granddaughter and her friend are leaving. Going somewhere, probably over to her friend's house. Take care. May God bless you. Anyway, so, another book is called Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. My wife just stepped out. And I'm a little bit distracted here because there's all kinds of noises going on here in the kitchen. And last week, the last time I used my cell phone, today I'm using the earphones with my computer here. There's still a lot of time to talk about many good things, and I apologize for any change in my routine, if you will, or the way I'm talking. So, God. In Angie Fenimore's book, Beyond the Darkness, she describes God as being twice the size of the average man, and with a robe on, a beard, hair flowing, with a voice that sounds like, I mean, not very powerful, but all-encompassing. Uh-oh, the dog's barking at the back. There's a dog on with me, too. And so when we pray to God, we have to envision what God looks like. So with Angie Fenimore and her situation, oh no, there's just too many distractions going on in here. In Lou Famoso's near-death experience, he was in his car driving down the road at 100 miles an hour, and it flipped end over end. And he had an encounter with God. And I explained it in a previous show. Oh, the dogs are barking in the backyard. This isn't going to work. So what I'm going to do is I'll just keep talking. Hey, come on. Come on, go over there. I'm going to keep on talking, I guess. Dogs are barking in the backyard. I'm not being distracted. Anyway, I think under the circumstances, take a drink of water. I'm pausing here a lot, and forgive me, but so I've got a lot of time left. This is not one of my best shows, but I like to have peace and quiet when I have my show, and I have had that before in the past, but now my wife is working away in the kitchen here, making noises. I'm sorry, I'm just explaining. I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining what's going on. The dogs are in the backyard barking. Anyway, so let me, I'm going to finish talking about God because I wrote all these things down here. In the book, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills, he talks about each and every one of us standing before God in the pre-existence. Before we were born, before we came into this world, we all had an encounter with God because we were spirits in the spirit realm. And one thing you could say about God is that God has a very, very, very bright light about him. And about, when I say him, I mean, because I believe in the spirit mother and the spirit father. Uh-oh, my wife's coughing now.
And my rationale for that is the original creator of the universe is both male and female. Angels are both two, if you will. This is a strange show, but I'll make it through. Anyway, so, you know, I believe the way that God was given like a male personality is because through... Yes, Goldie, come on now. Hey, I got a dog that just came up to me and wants to be patted. Come on, go over there. Go on. It's because with the... I'm going to take a drink of water. I did some singing today, so my voice is a little bit... what shall I say? Tired, maybe. So the early church decided that in their infinite wisdom, that because of the dominance of the male species, that God should be a male. But I believe that God is both male and female, and so, and I've said this in other shows before in the past, part of God's plan, along with the expansion of the universe from the first solar system all the way through one galaxy after another, is that they be co-creator gods of solar systems who reside on the sun. The sun is the spirit world. The sun is a very unique fire. It's a special fire. It's the fire of God. And the spirit, which we have inside our bodies, when the body dies, the spirit leaves. At that point in time, if you understand that the spirit is made of light energy, and so the spirit can exist in fire, just like you've heard the stories of spirits living in the lake fires, the fire of hell. Well, the spirit can also exist in any other fire, to include the fire of the sun. And the sun is 93 million miles away, but its light is perfect. It heats this world in a perfect way. Just the right amount of light for photosynthesis to occur. Right amount of light for all this life. The thousands of different life forms that we have here on Earth. In fact, millions, if you include the insects. Thousands of mammals, amphibians, reptiles, birds, fishes. And so the original creator of the universe is a huge, huge entity, if you will, I believe. As big, perhaps, as a galaxy. And not human being-like in nature, but more of anthropoid, let's put it that way, but electronic, if you will, even nuclear in its essence, able to configure its spirit to any number of shapes and sizes. In a little while, I'm going to read to you from a book I talked about in my previous show called The Contact Has Begun, by Philip Kraft, who worked on the LA Times Metro desk for 25 years as an editor, and then was abducted and taken aboard a spaceship called the Goodwill, operated by a race of extraterrestrials called the Verdants, who are supposedly the dominant species of the universe. And they've been traveling the universe for 290 million years. Imagine that. Their spaceships are capable of traveling light speeds, and they go interdimensional. They do it. I can explain it to you. But if you get the book, The Contact Has Begun, it's a wonderful read. The author, Philip Kraft, he is so funny. And he, it's an amazing book. I mean, I would rate it up there as one of my favorite books of all time, along with the Bible, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, The Contact Has Begun, Coevolution by Alex Newall, Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore, Heaven's Gates, Inside Heaven's Gates by Rebecca Spring. I've got so many favorite books. The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady. Anyway, so the original creator, part of his plan was to expand and grow, right? Growing is what it's all about, growth, right? And part of that plan includes us living here, living our lives. We have the capability to use words. And with our words, we can either create or destroy. So in essence, what we are doing is contributing to the growth of the universe. But these co-creator gods that live on suns, where we came from, we were born on the sun. Our spirit and soul was born on the sun. Earth is not our home. We came here, delivered by angels. Yes, it's true. We were delivered by angels to our mothers here on Earth. We spent 9 months in our mother's wombs, right? An amazing thing, isn't it? To think that we were living inside a body for 9 months of our life. So me, I'll be 63 years old next month. But that could also include another 9 months, as we all could, onto our years that we spent. And I don't know exactly when, maybe from the moment of conception, but the spirit enters the mother's womb, from what I've read, from my research, on the average at the 5 month mark. As you know, the baby's heartbeat starts beating after 22 days. That is so interesting. But something to consider, you know, when it comes to abortion, and that's such a controversial subject. As I mentioned in a previous show, in the book Heaven is for Real and in the movie, the young boy sees his sister who is in heaven, and she runs up to him and hugs, keeps hugging him. And so after his near-death experience, when he was home with his mother, he said to her, "I didn't know I had another sister." And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I have another sister," or words to that effect. I met this young girl in heaven who came up to me and said that she had died in your tummy. Well, so she had a miscarriage, and the baby, the spirit, then went to the spirit realm and continued to grow there. So food for thought when it comes to abortion. But, you know, I leave it up to women, and personally, in my opinion, they know what's best, and they have great consciences and know what's best for them. Anyway, moving on, when it comes to God, so great, the supreme creator, that huge, huge entity that can be anywhere in the universe at any time. You know, the universe is 15 billion light years in diameter. You know, it's a circle. It's expanding, you know, outward. One solar system after another, one galaxy after another. You get the picture. And the infinite space on the edges, expanding. You know, we have dark matter, dark energy. And so we're part of the creation, and our goal ultimately is to get back to God, to assimilate all of our experiences into the ocean of God's spirit like a drop of water, thereby increasing God's growth and expansion. But the creator of our soul and spirit is different from the original creator, the supreme creator of the universe. So on the sun, close your eyes, if you will. Think of a place where it's light, only light. There's no shadows there. You just arrived in heaven. Congratulations, you graduated from Earth. In the University of the Universe, you graduated from an environment that's a very specific learning environment. And it's very difficult here. It's a planet of the lowest evolutionary category. And in the universe, there are 9 different categories, from 1 to 9, whereas 9 is the highest, Earth is the lowest. In fact, it could be compared to a planet of sorrows. It is known throughout the universe. You read about people that have had contact with extraterrestrials, they say life here on Earth is very hard, in as much as with all the violence going on. You see it in the movies, Hollywood. My son is trying to be an actor, so I don't want to say, You know, I want to try to be loving, forgiving, understanding, intelligent person, and go about this in a good way. But all that violence, is there a future in it? I don't think so. What we need to see more of from Hollywood are the movies that are based on true life stories. People like you and I who have had things happen to them, whether it be near-death experience or an abduction, or maybe, you know, people that have had these things happen to them in their lives. There's so many different categories. I can't think of any else. But actually, I did think of one. There was a movie with Kevin Costner where he went to this small city town in California and helped these Hispanic young men form a running group, and they competed in high school, and based on a true story, and he took them to the state championships, and they won. So that's the kind of thing I personally would like to see more of. Going back to God. So we have a spirit mother and a spirit father, and I've said this before in previous shows. My rationale is that in a universe where my wife is coughing, and there's a smell of food in the kitchen. Distractions. Well, I know better now. Next time, next show, I'm going to be in a quiet place. No offense, but I'm trying to work through this. And so God, in Lou Famoso's experience, and when he had his accident and his Mustang turned end over end, flipped several times, and he left his body and he went and he met God, and he said God was a being about twice the size of an average man. But I submit to you, and my wife is gone. She went upstairs. And distractions. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, you know, just want you to understand that things are a little different for me today. And the next show will be different, just like the previous show was different. It's all good. I still have some more time. And there are a lot of other subjects I want to talk about. And in the end, you know, I don't even know who's out there listening. I heard that about 100 people were listening to my previous show. But even if there was one, that's all I need. I need just, even if there wasn't one, the challenge of sitting here and talking continuously for an hour is a pretty cool experience. And I'm all about that. You know, I think BBS Radio has a great thing going here, and there's so many really neat shows on BBS Radio. And as I mentioned this before, all these different subjects. And I've got so much to talk about, and I'll continue with God. So envision, let's try again. I want to try again envisioning what the Creator looks like. And male and female. Okay, let's look at Father God. When you see him, pretend, okay, you've just made it to heaven. You look around. It's a beautiful, beautiful landscape, just like Earth here, because everything that was here on Earth was made from heaven, spirit matter. And from spirit matter comes physical matter. That's what the Earth is. And so, say, you've just been transported to heaven in Archangel Gabriel's chariot. And you get off. Your feet are on the ground. You're in the spirit now, your spirit body. It's translucent, it's transparent, it's different colors. You're wearing a robe. You might have a crown on your head, maybe at that time or later. And all of a sudden you see all these people, and they're joyful, they're happy. Everyone's laughing, there's music everywhere, beautiful music, all harmonious. You look around, you see trees, fruit on the trees of life. You see fields, vast, vast fields in the distance, beautiful fields of gold, but colorful. Heaven is very, very intensely colorful, all these different colors. And there's rivers, lakes, oceans, seas, water, pristine, pure water. It's amazing because you wonder how can that be? Hey, come on, go upstairs. Hey, go on. That's a dog. That's one of our dogs. We've got four dogs. No, go on, go up there. Go on. If you're going to bark, go upstairs. Go on. So, and then another thing about heaven is that you have all these different people from different cultures throughout our history. The patriarchs of the Bible are there, the disciples, and all people from all nations, all religions who have made it to heaven. And this might be a little bit contrary to what the Christians think, but so you see what I mean by distractions? But I'm working my way through it. I'll know better next time. So my next show is in 2 weeks. I'm going to finish telling you a little bit about heaven and God, but then I'm going to read some, and I've got some notes here I'm going to tell you about. I want to tell you about. So, in heaven, one of the patriarchs of the Bible, Abraham, is going to meet you. The big barrel-chested man with a big beard, he's going to give you a goblet filled with water from the river of life. You're going to drink that, and slowly but surely, all the memories, all the impurities of the past life here on earth, everything that you went through, all the negativity, will begin to disappear. And you'll be kind of indoctrinated, getting accustomed and acclimated to the new environment there in heaven. So there's miles and miles and miles of open land, just like here on earth. But there's also the holy city. True. And then there are the walls and the pearly gates. And these walls are very high. They're filled with precious stones. There's angels everywhere. St. Peter, yeah, is going to be at the pearly gates. One of them anyway. There's more than one pearly gate. Did you know that? It's true. But going inside the holy gate, the holy city, through the gates, your name has to be in the book of life. Yeah, it's true. You're going to find out. Now, not everybody will get to heaven. Eventually they will, I think, because I believe, and I had an argument, not an argument, but we talked about eternal damnation. And I don't believe God is that unforgiving. Our Creator, our Spirit, Mother, and Father in heaven, they're very forgiving, more forgiving than us here on earth and parents here on earth. I'm a father of a son who lives in L.A., and I would never condemn him to an eternity of suffering because he disobeyed me or did something wrong because he sinned. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that we have to be held accountable for our actions and we have to pay the penalty of our wrongdoings. That's why there is hell. It's like God's jail. We go, spirits go there and they endure that suffering, that separation from God, from love. And there's a terrible smell there, and there's demons, grotesque demons that inflict pain and torture. There's fire. There are snakes and spiders and everything that's scary there in hell. And there is lake fire and other souls that are being tormented there. But I do not believe it's for eternity. Because, as I mentioned, God is not about unforgiveness. God is forgiving. But, just like you are on earth, you break the law, you have to go to jail. It's the same with God. That's how we got it from. Hey, that's how we learned that. Moving on. So, in Angie Fenimore's book, Beyond the Darkness, she said she saw God. And we are God's offspring. So she saw the Father God. And the Mother God exists. Believe me, there is a Mother God. Because if I was a man, you know, like, if I was a God of the universe, I'm married. I've been married twice. I always want a woman by my side. You know, what man would not want a woman by his side? Hey, so why would you think that Father God would not want a woman by his side? Because he has to procreate too, you know, create spirit children. And you think he can do that by himself? You know what I'm talking about. So there is a spirit mother. And when they create their spirit children, the souls and spirits, like they created mine there in heaven, on the sun, where I was, all spirits and souls are born. We were born there. We're going back there. We're going to return there. That's our goal. We will, eventually. Even someone like Hitler, the soul of Hitler, which is right perhaps now burning in, not burning, but in hell, there will be forgiveness for Hitler, someone like that, other people too. You can imagine, use your imagination. And you know what? I learned something really cool from a book by John Lerma, who operates some hospices here in Texas. I read two of his books. And in one book, he talked about a 9-year-old boy who was dying of a brain tumor. 9 years old. He eventually died. And I mentioned this in the previous show. And he said before he died, my message to the world is that we all need to forgive each other, even someone like Hitler. Revenge is for the creator. Remember that movie, The Revenant? The Indian said, revenge is in the creator's hand. So we should be more forgiving, right? Back to God. Let's take a look at Father God in the book. I mean, let me paint the picture of God Beyond the Darkness. Very tall, perhaps as big as a house, a spirit. You know, you can imagine what a spirit looks like, right? Light blue. It's outlined as if by a fine quill pen, but very, 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 very bright. The light of God. The light of Spirit Father, Spirit Mother is so bright. That's why when you get to the throne room, now that's a whole different, it's there within the city, but the light is so bright. And you've got to be able to withstand that light, withstand the glory and the brilliance that comes off that light. That's why it behooves each and every one of us to develop ourselves spiritually. It's like graduating from school, you know. It's like taking a class. The object is to graduate with honors, right? I mean, you don't want to just graduate. You want to do well. So when you get to where you're going eventually, someday, way ahead in the future that you don't know, perhaps tomorrow, maybe many years, when we transition from this life to the next life, then you're going to be face-to-face with the creator of your soul and spirit, or creators, so I say, Spirit Mother and Father. And then you're going to be held accountable for all the things that you've done in your life. You're going to go through your life review, and there's many different ways that can happen. You're going to meet Jesus, you know, who died on the cross and was resurrected, came back to life. I talked about that in the previous show, about Jesus. Jesus that died from the cross, died on the cross, was from the planet Thyuba. That's a long story. Listen to my show, I think, from the 8th of April. Anyway, so now you're face to face with a being that emanates love. The eyes of God are pools of love. Pools, did you get that? Pools of love. But very understanding, all-knowing, right? So intelligent, incredibly, incredibly, wonderfully intelligent. Knows all about you, all that you've done. Knows about your soul journey, where you've been, where you're going to go. His face, the face of God, male and female. The faces are just very authoritative, because just like a father and a mother would be. And in the book, The Soul's Remembrance, Roy Mills described his encounter with Father God as, He said he was tall, very tall, had hair on his head, a widow's peak, a crown of light above his head. He had a robe on, no shoes. Again, the face very kind but authoritative, and the voice perfect. You've heard that it said that the voice is like running water, the sound of wind. It's like that. Let me tell you what I've got written down here. So I think I've covered most of it. 20 feet tall. He knows what you're thinking. And don't forget that the Spirit Father and the Spirit Mother are about 2 million years old. I mean, they've existed since the beginning of the solar system, because the solar system is theirs. They created it. You know, first the sun, in accordance with the powers of the cosmos, you know, by speaking those words and getting those creative forces going, putting them into effect. That was part of the supreme creator's master plan. that with the use of words, even whole solar systems can be created, all the planets. And you will one day, too, have your own solar system. Sometime way, way, way into the future, many lifetimes, reincarnation is a reality. This life is not, it's just a stepping stone to the next life. You've seen that picture of reincarnation? Because if you type in reincarnation in Google, you'll see the picture of the human, you know, growing from a baby to an old man, and then transitioning to the spirit realm, and then coming back as a baby, and then that cycle continues. And because in our soul's journey, we cannot accomplish everything we need to accomplish and achieve that growth that the Supreme Creator desires with just one lifetime. Okay. I'm going to change the subject here. So I gave you a good idea of what God looks like, and the eyes especially. In the book, The Heavens Open by Anna Roundtree, she talks about God and his eyes just being just terrifying yet loving, but also terrifying in a way. And the Father, the Spirit Father, has facial hair, maybe, you know, a beard, think of a beard. Beautiful hair. I mean, and understand that the Spirit Father wants to be seen as being perfect. And so when I talk about perfect, I mean proportionally perfect. The muscles underneath the robe are chiseled, you know, and just beautiful. So probably the first thing that will strike us when we come face to face with our Creator is just how beautiful he or she is. Just how awesomely, just awesome and beautiful they are. Loving, just emanating love, understanding, but also very authoritative. They know all about us. And they know the mistakes we made in this life. If we repented for them, you know, repent each day. May I recommend, suggest that you do so. And stay reconciled with the Creator of your soul and spirit. Oh, there's so much to talk about in so little time. So moving on, so 2 million years old, don't forget, you're talking, one day you'll be face-to-face with a being who has existed for 2 million years. And that's, in my opinion, how long the Earth has been in existence for, and our solar system, roughly, also. So I'm going, looking at my notebook here. I was going to do some reading. I read the scriptures at our church last Sunday, and I had a passage that I read from Exodus 32 verses 1 through 16 about the Israelites coming out of Egypt and their encounter with God. Back then they said, you know, the God of Mount Sinai who took them out of Egypt, that performed all his miracles in Egypt. You know what, I might do that on another show in the future, because I don't want to get into that. I've got a few other subjects I'd like to cover instead of that. I want to read to you also something from the book, The Contact Has Begun. Oh, by the way, I did write this down. And picture this when you think of the Spirit Mother and Spirit Father. They're so big because, you know, it's all about growth. The Supreme Creator wanted growth, expansion. It's what the universe is all about. So they are very, very big. I mean, big enough to reach down and they'll pick you up in their hands. You know, that kind of big. Can you imagine that? Oh, I looked up into the stars in the sky the other night. I looked and I saw there were so many stars up there. Just like grains of sand on the beach. Oh, my God. Millions of them. Isn't that amazing? And out there, there are many extraterrestrials. There's an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets. As in the book, as per the book, The Contact Has Begun. Let me read to you a part of the book. I opened it up to date on this. So I like reading something where I just open a book, you know, and I'm right there. So these extraterrestrials, and the contact has begun. They've been observing us for many years. They've parked themselves in their spaceship called the Goodwill. Hey, how about that? The Goodwill. And they're behind the moon. Isn't that
I don't know if they've left, though, because after 9/11, as I mentioned on a previous show, our species was kind of borderline anyway. And so now that we were on probation, but now I'm not sure if they're still here. They might even be listening to my show. How about that? So they're called the Verdants, and what they've been exploring the universe for millions and millions of years. And they're the typical extraterrestrial, maybe 5 feet tall, grayish, tannish skin, big dark eyes, very, very intelligent, extremely intelligent. And their technology is amazing, you know. As I mentioned, their spaceships capable of light speed, international travel. They're very advanced spiritually, and they've evolved to the point where they probably can't evolve too much more. They've achieved absolute intelligence, and it talks about that in the book here. So chapter 8 in the books was called The Verdant War Machine. So Philip Kraft is on board the spaceship. He was on board for three days, 3 nights. And he said he's been given a tour by this one of the Verdants. His name is Gus. So he's talking with Gus, and he said, What's up? I had asked Gus. And Gus said, remember when you asked me if I'd ever been in a fight? I want to talk to you about that. The answer is yes. I've been in many fights, but I've never drawn blood, nor have I inflicted pain or injury upon another living creature. No Verdant for eons has. A neat trick, I said. How do you fight somebody without blooding his nose or getting your own bloodied? Do you play chess? He asked. Just barely, I said. How would you describe a chess match? Well, let's see, I said. I guess you could say that chess is a civilized game played by cultured ladies and gentlemen matching wits. Partly right, Gus said. Chess is a game played by cultured people pretending to be engaged in a gentlemanly contest of intellect, but whose real purpose is to outwit their opponent to such a humiliating and degrading point that the rival will never speak to them again. It is barbaric, and yet no noses are bloody, as you say. Remind me not to play chess with you, I said. If there is only one message that you take back to your people, Gus continued, it is imperative that they understand that the Verdants are a peaceful race, completely and totally lacking in aggressive tendencies. Now, that's a different picture. Let me stop here. That's a different picture than Hollywood paints them. You know, don't be fooled, people. Hollywood is not the answer to everything. They've got some good ideas there. Some movies are good, but otherwise they're just trying to make movie. All this violence, my God. Is there a future in it? Is there a future in it? And when the real thing happens, isn't it so much different? It's like from fantasy to reality. In that movie last night, Wonder Woman, you know, it was like a trip in fantasy land. And then you get back outside, and all of a sudden you're going to get in your car and go home, you know. And when you get out on the road, you don't know if you're going to get a flat tire, the engine's going to go dead, and get into an accident and get killed, right? Anyway, back to the book. However, okay, he said, we are not conquerors or warriors. Your people must understand that. They must not fear us. However, in the early stages of their development, the Verdants, the Verdants did have some preliminary aggressive tendencies, he said. Archaeological finds and fossil records indicate that some Verdant individuals died of wounds that could only have been inflicted by primitive weapons such as clubs and crude stone knives. So it goes on a little bit more. He said, Philip said, not even defensive weapons? What happened if you came across a warlike species that is already in space before you discovered them? How would you defend yourselves? Absolute intelligence is the ultimate weapon against which there is no adequate defense, even by the most aggressive and advanced military power, Gus said. He didn't explain that term, but it seems self-explanatory. I imagined that absolute intelligence meant exactly that, the absolute limit, where no intellectual improvement is possible. The definition would be confirmed later. I thought I had Gus there. Maybe I could beat him at chess after all. I mentally move my queen to put him in check. Ah, but what happens if this armed and ferocious species also has achieved an absolute intelligence, I asked. Now you're facing an enemy that isn't as intelligent as you, but he has a weapon and you have none.
Doesn't that put you at a disadvantage? A contradiction in terms, Guts replied. Species resort to war and conflict when they lack the intellect to resolve their differences through peaceful means, Guts told me. Once absolute intelligence is achieved, use of force to settle disputes is out of the question because it is a tool of the ignorant and the inferior. Therefore, it is impossible to meet a warlike species with absolute intelligence. The two qualities are mutually exclusive. That is, if a species is warlike, it has not achieved absolute intelligence. If it has achieved absolute intelligence, it cannot be warlike, Guts explained. You said you've been in bloodless fights before, I said. What do you mean? In their explorations of the universe, the Verdants have on occasion encountered heavily armed hostile species that have already become star travelers by the time they are discovered, Guts said. Without relying upon military weapons, the Verdants surreptitiously moved their chess pieces into place and proceeded to force the aggressive species out of space and back to their home planets. Same could happen to us, too, you know. They become effectively isolated and neutralized until such time as the species evolve to the point where they can be safely absorbed into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. I don't see how you can do that, I said. They have their guns, we have our wits, he replied. He told of one particular situation several thousand years ago when he himself was commanding an exploration starship and came upon two species in a distant galaxy that were involved in interstellar warfare. Hey, this isn't fantasy, this is true. Make no mistake, they were very intelligent and possessed weapons powerful enough to obliterate a planet such as Earth with one strike. Your military has nothing that could defend against them, he said. But the two opponents were equally matched, so neither one was able to strike a lethal blow against the other. For every offensive weapon, the other side had a matching defensive one. There were millions of casualties, of course, but no decisive winning blow was struck by either side. The war simply went on and on. So what happened, I asked. I checkmated them, he said. And he goes on to explain how they assimilated themselves by changing themselves to resemble those particular species. What's that called? You know, they can, just like in the movie Avatar, they become like them. You know, they create the bodies and then they slip into their bodies with their spirits and then walk among them and move things around so that, you know, they change the way things are going. And through their intelligence, stop them from fighting each other. Anyway, I'm running out of time here, ladies and gentlemen. And there's always so much to talk about. I could go on talking for hours. And I know you can't, you could too. It's such a neat thing. Well, let me give some tips. When you pray, sometimes I got 2 minutes. Okay, well, let me say a prayer. Dear Spirit, Mother and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy glorious spirits and souls. You are well-traveled and ancient souls on soul journeys. You've lived lives like we have at one time. And you reside there on the sun, in the spirit world, that light that sustains our planet. And when we are in the spirit, we shall reside there with you, because we can live in the light of the spirit world as spirits. We can withstand that heat and that fire. Please be with us. Guide us. Protect us. Bless us. Continue to bless us, each and every one of your children here on earth. And there are millions of them. Isn't that amazing? We are just one of your children. Please help to resolve our differences politically. Guide us to discovering the truth. We know that all these different religions don't have the truth. There's only but one truth, and that is the truth of the universe, universal truth, and the truth of the spirit and the soul.
Please be with us always. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the miracles of creation, for this world, beautiful, beautiful world we live in. It is such a wonderful world with all the beautiful vegetation and animal life. Everything is wonderful. Thank you. 1,000 thank yous for everything. We love you. Thank you for loving us. This is Blake Ruby. Until the next show, 2 weeks from today, I'll talk with you later. Take care. I love you.